Ching ching, bling bling, let's cut the chatter. Today's episode, we go inside the mind of a fantasy football champion. Welcome to the Tucci Talks Wealth, Health, and Everything Else podcast. I'm your host, David Tucci, an educator, a father of three. Join me as I take you on a funky journey through life, from a reckless young man to a humbled older man. Each week, I will offer different insights on my life experiences and the experiences of others and how that has shaped our present day realities. So let's begin our funky journey into improving our health, wealth, and you guessed it, everything else. Do 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 do. Welcome back. Please tell me you remember that show back in the day. If not, YouTube it. It's called Welcome Back, Cotter. Great show. John Travolta was the main character. He played Vinny Barbarino, the leader of the Sweat Hog Nation. We may not be as popular as that yet, but we have the T2 Nation, and it's slowly growing each week as we learn and evolve together. I try to put out content that is motivational, inspirational, and sometimes I just want to have some plain fun, which is what we will be doing today. So if you want to follow me on my journey to wealth, health, and everything else, subscribe to the podcast, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at TucciTalks75. Email me, david@TucciTalks75.com. We could grow together. On the theme of fun, I'm loving today's topic. Why? Because it is a topic that has the undercurrent of reckless and harmless fun. Harmless, depending on who you speak to, because some guys take it to the extreme. This is actually my first guest on Tucci Talk, so I'm excited about that. But before I introduce today's guest, we need to recap last week's episode where we talked Bitcoin. As usual, our recap segment is sponsored by the people that got me into the podcasting space, so I want to give a little shout out to Anchor. Here we go. The main points from last week. I'm just going to touch on a couple. Number one, Bitcoin is money, and I believe it will be the future of money. Just to give you a quick evolution of money, obsidian was valued in Stone Age culture to cowrie shells used in certain parts of Asia. We're talking 3,000 years ago, to gold, to promissory notes backed by banks, to fiat, which we use today as national currency. Backed by what? Who knows? As Nobel Prize winning economist Paul Krugman said, men with guns. That comment just sounds like ignorance took some steroids. No wonder I think Bitcoin is the future. Number two, find a good exchange. They will do KYC, which stands for Know Your Client. I gave coinsquare.io for Canadians. Even if you're not Canadian, you can use that. It's a secure exchange, and a secure exchange ensures you have a good on-ramp to getting your fiat dollars from your bank account into your Bitcoin wallet. I know this could be confusing for some newbies. I'm going to go do a future episode on Bitcoin where I will bring in someone who has absolutely no idea about Bitcoin so they can ask any question that comes to mind. We will ostensibly do a Bitcoin for dummies, for lack of a better term. On to today's episode. My next guest is a close friend of mine. He has been an educator for 20 years, a father of three lovely young girls. He has participated in many wilderness adventures with just a tiny backpack. He has qualified for the Boston Marathon a couple of occasions. I'd like to welcome two-time UFFLTO champion Tony Mazaton Rick, and I see in the corner of my eye as I'm introducing him, he has this big grin on his face and he's flashing this big shiny championship ring. Dude, you need to bring that ring to the draft this year.
I am going to wear it to the draft. I'm going to bring my personalized jewel case. It's going to say, Tons Titans, you felt your champion, 2019.
What's a recipe for fantasy success before you start a season? Like now, you're preparing to defend your title.
Oh.
And I see that smile on your face.
I research every day. Every day, every time I go on my phone, the only thing I do is look up sites. When I work out and run, I'm listening to fantasy football podcasts.
So what's the level of luck involved, do you think? Like, okay, I know we can't scale it, but if we're going to use a scale of 1 to 10, or let's do a pie. So when I talk about poker, I talk about poker as a pie. You have 25% math, 25% people, 25% skill, and 25% luck. Like, there's an element of luck in poker that you could play great and still lose in the short term.
Oh, 100%.
What do you think the element of luck is in
50%?
Yeah.
50%. You can't predict injuries.
Right.
You can't predict career seasons, blow-ups. You can't predict Christian McCaffrey putting up the most numbers since Marshall Faulk. The second most numbers and Lamar Jackson putting up historic numbers.
Right.
Position. How can you predict that? You can't.
No, you can't. But those are individual positions. I mean, 50%. you gotta construct a team.
Right. I played you last year in what I thought was a very important game. I think.
Correct. Yeah, you beat me by 0.1.
Yes. Because James Conner ended up putting 32 points.
Right, I get it. Yeah. I was undefeated at the time.
I beat you by 0.1.
Yes.
Who beat some of my points? I'm a point.
That's a perfect example of where you say luck.
You cannot predict that. Yes. You can't predict that. And if James Conner ended up taking a knee at the last play of the game,
you would have
took a knee. We would have died.
You would have lost. You would have taken.
We would have lost, or we would have tied. Like, yes, crazy.
That's right.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
So, how much homework have you done so far?
A lot every day. I already know. Probably, I probably already know what my draft strategy is going to be.
So how do you construct a draft strategy? Does it matter where you're drafting?
Huge, huge. So because I won last year, I'm drafting at the end of the draft. So I have the last pick.
Okay.
Not only that, I gave away my first overall pick in a trade.
So you have the second number one in the second round.
Correct. 11 overall.
So who are you franchising?
Derrick Henry. I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah. Because you got him in the third round?
Fourth round.
Yeah, that's an easy decision.
So right now, he's supposed to go sixth overall.
And it's all running backs, right?
The first five players practically are all running backs. And then Michael Thomas gets thrown in.
Right, right.
And then after Michael Thomas is Derrick Henry. And I had both these guys last year.
Right. So you're, again, yeah.
I hit on Derrick Henry in the fourth. Like,
yeah, that's a hit. That was a good hit. Fantastic hit. I didn't think he was going to do as well as he did, to be honest.
No. I didn't want to even pick him. I didn't want to pick him.
I know. You're like, okay, he's the only guy. I got to take him. I need a running back.
Take him. I'm like, oh, damn, I have to take Derrick Henry. I don't want to do that.
Who are some guys in the league that you fear when you play? Like, who going into this season, do you look at other people and how they're going to construct their team? Or you just basically look, this is what I need to do. This is my strategy. When the draft occurs, do you change? Do you alternate? Are you flexible?
Yeah, you have to be flexible. So we have a few really good players and a few ex-really good players. And then we have other guys who don't really know what they're doing and who you try to take advantage of in season during trades.
That's where a lot of the fun comes in.
It's a lot of the fun.
Do you play in multiple leagues?
Yeah, I do.
And in the other leagues you play in, are they the same format?
Yes, same format. Yeah, so we play standard league. So We don't get points per reception, and same rosters. But this year we're changing it to where we're playing half PPR. Both leagues are half PPR, so half point per reception.
Okay, so
every time you're,
You get a you receive half a point for the dad. That will change the strategy. I could see that.
Huge,
right? Immensely. But in the other league, is it friends as well?
No, it's a couple cousins. My brother, a couple cousins play, and they're buddies.
So that's what I want to ask you. So is it, so we've had 20 years of fantasy football.
Crazy.
It's been a long road, and there's a lot of fun at the draft that we would have.
Our drafts go 4 hours long. We just,
We rip on each other. It's a comedy of errors. And every
but
time.
That's why drafting in person is so fun.
So this other league, are you drafting in person?
Yes, we draft in person as well.
Okay.
Now with COVID, come September, I don't know what's going to happen.
Interesting.
I don't know if we're going to be drafting in person. I don't know how comfortable guys are drafting in person.
So probably most likely scenario is going to be what avenue we have right now.
This is probably what's going to happen. Something like, the draft will be an online draft. All 10 guys, you're going to see their faces, but it's just not in person.
So it's not going to be the same, you don't think, right?
No. The draft is, it's so fun. It's so fun, especially if you're with buddies, spot where, you know,
it just. What would you say to someone who is thinking about getting into a fantasy league but is not sure?
You should 100% do it. It's really fun. Caveat is you should be committed. If your team sucks and you're 0-6, you still have to play. You have to play. It's not fair if you stop playing and you don't set a lineup. And
that's actually great advice for people who are playing, to be committed, because you jeopardize the integrity of the league.
And you never want to do that.
And yeah, you never.
And in our league, we're all committed. Like we're even guys who are 0-9. They're still setting lineups. They're still trying to make trades. They're trying to better their team for next year.
Right.
So they're still in there, but in this other league, there's some guys who they're bad. Like they're 1-7 or something. I have to remind them to set a lineup.
That's not fair.
No.
So now you said it's 50% luck, fantasy football. What's the other 50%?
So it starts with the draft. You have to do your homework. So you have to know backup players, backup running backs. You have to know breakout players, guys who you can target later on, who you think you can get later on in a draft, who will be available. And if you can hit on some guys that you're picking up in round 6, round 7, meanwhile, they're giving you round 2 numbers, that's huge. If you're not doing your homework, you're not going to do that. You won't know.
Doing homework, what does that entail? How many hours are you putting into the – how many hours on average, just guesstimate, that you put in before the draft on homework?
Starting today.
Sure. Give an average.
I'd probably – honestly, an hour and a half a day.
For like 60 days?
Yeah. Honestly, I read everything. Every moment I have, I'll Google Fantasy Football 2020, and I'll read these articles that I haven't read before. I'm on 3 apps. Honestly, it's like an hour and a half a day. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like a job.
But you know what? But you said something too. You said something a couple days ago that you want to do research on your wagers. You have to. You have to research them.
Must.
You must research them. But just because you do research on them doesn't mean that you're going to hit.
Correct.
So you can research all you want, but you have to hit on that wager. But you said something really important. You said you have to enjoy your research.
Yes, I did. Yes.
You have to enjoy. I love this stuff.
Yes. That's why you do it then.
That's why I do it. And it's not work for me.
Right.
Like I want to do it.
Yeah.
It's not work for me. I love doing it.
Okay. So we have that aspect of it. We have 50% luck. You said you got it. The other 50% is a bundle of homework. What else? So obviously you're committed to the research and you enjoy it.
And you enjoy it. Research, yeah. And,
does that,
and also,
How does that impact your family?
Oh, it doesn't.
At all?
Oh, no. No.
What about your wife? Does she give you a hard time? What do you say to those guys that their wives give them a hard time because they don't understand the importance of fantasy football? What do you say to those guys?
I don't know if those guys spend as much time as I do, but my wife would literally just laugh at me. What are you looking at? I'm researching.
No, but does she appreciate the importance for you to go for a fantasy championship?
No, not at all. She thinks I'm nuts.
So she thought you were nuts when you bought that ring?
Oh, completely. She thinks it's like just like a little, it's not a big deal. She wanted to help me make my pick.
So we have homework, making a commitment. So 50% is luck. What else?
Oh, so I'd say 50% is luck. I'd say probably about another 25% is hitting on your draft, is doing homework and pre-preparation.
But that's the homework component. That's the homework component.
Yeah, before your draft. And it's also in season. You have to play your waiver wire every week. Player waiver wire every week. So we have what's called we have these fake dollars that we spend on players every single week. So specifically,
they're called FOB dollars. They're called, right?
FOB dollars. Yeah, free agency auction
budget. Yeah.
Budget. So yeah. So right. So we have $500, I believe, for the year. It's not real money, and we basically purchase players. So we blind bid. So I might bid 50 out of my $500. You bid 51. I don't know what you're bidding. You don't know what I'm bidding, and you will get the guy at the end of that particular week. So you have to every single week be involved in waivers, at least to try and pick up the players you want. But if you're not trying to pick up the players you want to pick up the players that your opponents want. So this way, at least they don't get them, but you have to be really involved in waivers.
That's an interesting strategy, and you don't want to waste your budget early if you're going to employ that strategy.
No, you want to be as frugal as you can, but at the same time, if you really want a player, if Christian McCaffrey goes down and all of a sudden his backup Reggie Bonifant comes up and has a 100-yard game in Christian McCaffrey's absence, guys are going to be dumping $400 and $500 on, right, Reggie Bonifant.
What's your budget for the year?
$500.
And you have that entire budget and you have to utilize it throughout the course of the season. And once you lose that budget, you can't bid anymore, but you could pick players up after.
Correct. You can't bid anymore, but you can still, but once the waiver process goes through after an entire week, if a player you want is not picked up, then I can pick him up for free.
Anything else that goes into having a successful campaign?
Trades. So you have to be aware of let's say if a league mate has five running backs and I'm weak on running back, well, that league mate can only play two running backs in a given week. He's got three in his bench. He doesn't want to make a decision of which running, and he's got three really good running backs in his bench. He doesn't want to make a decision on who to start. I'm stacked in wide receiver. I might offer him a good wide receiver for a running back because running back is a position of need. You have to be active in trades. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but you have to offer.
Yeah, I was active last year a lot, and everybody, even great trades, people turning down. But how do you explain this then? Okay, we have luck, homework, auction, trade. How do you explain players never winning in 20 years who make the same type of commitment that you do? If it's 50% luck, shouldn't it even out? And how do guys have multiple? We're talking a 20 year span where you have guys winning multiple titles and then others who are good, who are great fantasy players.
My brother.
Yes. Yes. the demolition. 20 yes. years and he can't, and he hasn't.
He's good. He does his research. He's researching now. Me and him, well, we talked last week.
And, okay, so let's take this as an example. We have Dave's Demolition. Been in the league. He's one of the OGs.
Yes.
Been in the league for 20 years.
Yes.
All the tenants that you mentioned, homework, trade, active with free agents, he hits all of those checkpoints.
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
In my opinion, he doesn't. So he does his homework. He really does his homework. He's really active on the waiver wire, but he doesn't make trades. He's very guarded. He's very guarded. So if he likes a guy, even if he's in a position of strength, even if he has, like I said, five running backs, and he needs to pick up a tight end, he's not going to give one of his running backs to pick a tight end. He thinks that maybe he might be bombarded with injuries later on. It might be better beneficial for him to have that you know, plethora of running backs instead of having an elite tight end. So he's very reluctant, very reluctant.
Now, we know that we've known each other for years, like years, since we were 15, 16.
Yeah.
And we've watched each other grow. And I've watched your brother grow as well. And I know in his investing, he's very conservative. Do you think he brings that element of being a little bit risk averse to the fantasy football game?
That's a great call. Yes, 100%. That's the thing. He's very, very conservative. So he'll pick a guy with a low, with a high floor, as opposed to a guy who might have a lower floor with a high ceiling.
Would you say that is an important ingredient to winning a fantasy title, to not be afraid to win?
Yes. You're playing to win.
But why does he do that then? If he knows, if we both know you need to play to win, and sometimes you have to take risk to really seek the ultimate reward, why doesn't he do that?
That's just in his nature. He's conservative. It's in his nature.
Because at the end of the year, it's all about what you showed me earlier.
The stunner ring. It's called, they call it the stunner ring.
Did you?
And that's the problem with fantasy football. You get so invested. I do. So invested in it. So invested.
Do you recall a story where you couldn't sleep?
Well, there was one, I'm an Eagles fan, and I had, I believe it was Zach Ertz and what's his name? Jason Elliott, the Eagles kicker.
Is it Jake Elliott?
Jake Elliott. Yeah. Jake Elliott. Zach Ertz and Jake Elliott. And I was playing my brother, and I was down by two. I'm down by two, I believe. Going into the Monday night game. I think you will recall this too.
I do. Zach Ertz didn't get a point.
He didn't get a point, and Elliott, I didn't care. Elliott ends up missing a kick and hurts himself. And then he's out for the rest of the game. And Zach Ertz ended up scoring a touchdown. A touchdown. That was called back. I could not stop. I was so upset.
Were you cursing at the TV?
So I was cursing like crazy. I couldn't sleep. I was so upset. And then, especially me, when bad things like that happen, it's like it's only me. It's only me that hits these bad beats. It's a big suck. When good things happen, it's because they're supposed to happen. When bad things happen, I'm the suckiest person in the league. The suckiest. Oh, it was terrible. But then I also remember, though, my first championship. Nobody remembers this. I remember it. My first championship.
It was against Curry, right? In 2010? Against Curry,
right. And I remember I had Roddy White, and I was watching the game downstairs in my basement. I was alone. And I remember Roddy White was split out wide at the top of the screen. And they were probably on the 12-yard line. And I looked at the TV screen. I go, oh my God, he's one-on-one. He's one-on-one with the DB. Like, there's no say. He's one-on-one. It's crazy. And I saw Roddy White. You never pay attention to one player. And I totally remember going, oh my goodness. I'm going to win the championship here. And he made a move on the DB, and he cut inside. And he beat him. And Matt Ryan was looking the other way. And I'm going, oh my God, he's got it. And that somehow, he must have been looking off the safety. Matt Ryan just looked back to Roddy White. Bang. Touchdown. I'm going crazy. And I saw it right from the beginning. Matt Ryan must have seen it too. I'm going crazy.
What does it feel like in that moment, was that solidified your first championship? That
my first
play?
Championship, I went nuts. And then after that, all the texts and the texts come in from all your league mates. Congratulations.
Oh, okay. So how does it feel though? Like, what are you feeling when you finally realized what you've been playing for all season?
Relief.
Oh, it is. It's relief.
Absolute relief. And then a justification for all the work that you've done.
Yes.
But then like a couple days later, it's a little bit of sadness because you want to play again.
Yes. So now was it the same feeling when you won last year? You're the defending champ going into this season.
No, it was a little anticlimactic last year because we changed the rules last year. We had a two-day final.
Right.
And I was up by 40 going into the second week of the finals. So I was pretty sure that I was going to win.
Right.
You know, unless something disastrous happened.
Correct.
I was pretty sure I was going to win, so it was anticlimactic. But that first victory, I remember Roddy White split out wide, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, I'm going to win this because Matt Ryan's going to hit Roddy White, and bang, Matt Ryan hit Roddy White.
Perfect. So you're a two-time champ in one of the tougher leagues that you've played in for 20 years of fantasy football.
Crazy.
Playing fantasy football before people didn't really even know it was a thing.
Oh, 100%, right. We all did. And what's pretty cool, too, is that all of our – the majority – we have very little turnover in our league. Like, for considering being around for 20
correct,
years.
Correct, correct.
There wasn't a lot of turnover. It's all the same bunch of buddies playing. And we get together, we talk about fantasy football.
Now, final question. I'm going to let you go. And I appreciate you coming on and having fun. We're laughing. Thank you for
having me on.
Yeah, it's fun. Would you say – that is it better to not go to the championship and lose? Because you've been to to the championship many times. You've been to the championship 6 times, and I think is that the most by an owner?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, I think you've been there because I've only been there 4 times.
And how many times did you win?
4.
You're a jerk.
So I honestly don't know what it's like to lose. I'm saying I don't understand what it feels like to lose a championship.
This is the good stuff. Like I'm getting slapped in the face here. These are little jabs. Little jabs in my stomach. Jab.
No, but how does it feel losing? Is it?
Oh, it's a disaster.
So the question is, would you rather not go knowing you're going to lose?
No, I'd rather go.
Okay.
I would want to, you know what? It gives me that extra week of playing fantasy, which I really look forward to.
That's true.
It's the extra week of a meaningful game. And then, you know, they're not the little exhibition games that's some commissioner set up at the end just to keep their, you know, just to keep the owners interested. So this is a very meaningful game, an extra week of playing fantasy. And then although I'm not the champion and you play to win, you don't play to come in second. The other guys in my league can't tell me I suck.
True. And you get the extra 20 second place prize.
And you get the second place prize,
yeah, which is significant. Yeah.
So before we go, Dave, can I just say a couple things with regards to fantasy?
Of course you can. You're my guest today. Go for it.
So I know it's just fantasy football, and it doesn't have a big impact towards life and towards today's social climate. However, I think that even though you're playing fantasy football, that you could take certain lessons from fantasy football and project that onto life. So if I can explain. Number one is, I talked before about preparedness. So you have to be prepared for fantasy football. Today, right now, I mean, it's morning right now where I'm at. And I'm probably, once I'm done this, going to go and listen to a podcast or read a few articles on fantasy. So one is preparedness. You have to be prepared for fantasy football, prepared when in your draft, prepared for the season, and being prepared for life will lead you to certain successes. Just like being prepared for fantasy football will also lead you to certain successes. So preparedness is very, very important. Number two is I play fantasy football with my best friends. This is not an online thing. This is something that we do together in person. I think in person communication is lacking in today's society. I think a lot of today's society is online. Everything is online. Everything is digital. Everything is social media related. It's 120 characters. It's 30 seconds long. Nothing is face to face. Nothing is live these days. And the way we play fantasy football, me and my group of friends, is we're there. We're in person. We talk to each other when we make trades. We don't type. Everything is face to face. And I think that's a skill that is slowly deteriorating in today's society, where me and my league mates, we don't allow that to deteriorate in our league. We look forward to the face-to-face communication. And lastly is, it's fantasy football. Keep it light and keep it fun. In life, man, it's too serious and it's too short. Just keep it light and keep it fun. And that's all I wanted to say with regards to the lessons that fantasy football can bring and convey towards life.
It's always good to take some lessons from something like fantasy football, which is very simple, and apply it to other areas of your life. It's very important. And I know you're going for a back-to-back championship. No other owner has ever done that in the history. So I wish you the best of luck, and thank you for coming on. And
thank you very much.
The rest of your week.
You too, buddy. Later.
Oh, man, that was fun. And, you know, maybe we should be doing activities that are a little bit more lighthearted, especially in today's climate, because life is a little bit too short to be taken so seriously. Which now brings me to next week's episode, where we will visit the world of intermittent fasting. My brother is going to join the podcast and share his experience from doing a 96-hour fast. We should get some interesting insights. I really hope you had a good time today. You can tell by all the laughing that I certainly did. So thanks to everyone for all their support. Continue to join me every Monday and subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Contact me on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter at TucciTalks75 or email me your questions to david@TucciTalks75.com. That's it for now. Have a great rest of the week, and don't forget to add a little funk to your day.